And we are going to be having a test. So that's how this next 20 minutes is going to go. How are you doing, Edwin?
I'm doing good. I'm alarmed.
Are you already?
I'm alarmed that I still have a job. It's amazing. 20 years later.
It's incredible. Actually, we were just talking with your manager, Lisa, about how today is the actual day, 20 years ago.
Yeah, 20 years ago that I'll be peaked at number what was
number
it?
Number 5, I believe, on the Billboard chart.
That's
so
awesome. I've been telling people it was 3 for 20 years. I've inflated my
I don't know
chart
that anyone's going to go back and check, so
no one's called me on it yet. I'm just going to keep the lie up. It's not a lie if you believe it.
So let's talk about this song. I mean, it's obviously, you know, struck a chord with lots of people everywhere and still relevant 20 years later. I mean, have you had people, you know, fans, is it like a wedding song
or is it like a... It's been like a winning lottery ticket. It's unbelievable. The timing of it and just how fortunate we were to be a part of the music business at the time, and I'm astonished by how long it's gone, and I've played it in every setting imaginable. I've played it at weddings and funerals and in hospice situations and just really every, you know, it's been incredible. It's helped us earn a living for years and years, and our band and crew, and I'm just grateful every day. People, you know, I get the question a lot. People go, you ever get tired of singing that song? Nope.
Nope.
Nope. Never.
Well, I wonder what it is. I mean, I love the song, and I think it speaks to sort of that universal truth of connection with people, right? So, especially with those big life events, weddings, funerals. I mean, it's just like saying, hey, you know, I'm with you. I'll be there. I'll walk through this with you. And I think that's such a universal truth that it never gets old.
I love to tell you I understood the alchemy of it. I'm so I still to this day I play it every night, and I look out at the crowd and I try to play it like it's the first time I'm playing it for
people. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about writing the song?
Yeah, I'll tell you. We were talking about it today. The record company president at the time, Jason Flom, who's still a very good friend of mine, he called me. He was always really honest with me. I just didn't have a bad experience with Atlantic. I just had really good relationships. And Jason called me because my first record had only sold a couple hundred thousand copies. And he's like, listen, you're about to get dropped off the label.
need something.
You know, you need to come up with something great here. And I had some fragments of notes in a suitcase. And I was like, I have an idea. I have this thing. I can do this. I was like, give me a minute. And yeah. So, you know, I remember hanging up the phone with him. I was like, man, this is important. This is it. I'm right here at the buzzer. And
right, little fire under your tail.
Yeah, no, I wrote the song, and I remember thinking, you know, halfway into it, I was like, this might be okay, this might work,
this could be good.
And played it live in front of an audience, and their reaction was the final approval. And I just remember thinking, okay, well, if this doesn't do it, I don't belong in this business. And so we floated it out there, and you know, by whatever timing and luck and all of those things that have to come into play, and just it hit, and here we are 20 years later.
Yeah, I mean, again, it did it then, and it still does it now.
It's just incredible. I get like the readouts of where, you know, where it gets streamed and played and stuff. I'm like, where is that?
What's the weirdest place that you can think of?
Just like all over Indonesia. And,
right on.
And there, you know, it's become a phenomenon in the Philippines.
Okay.
The Filipinos jokingly refer to it as the second Filipino national anthem.
Really?
Because so many people sing it at karaoke. Well, and we went over there to play, and it was like 20,000 seats, but they don't really care about anything other than that song.
Right.
So it was a little awkward for an hour until we got there. But and then if I ever go back, I'm just gonna play I'll Be 10 times in a row, and they'll be totally fine with that. They would be completely fine with that.
And like it's funny with people who English is not their first language, that but still with these songs, I mean, I'm assuming they knew every word and sang it back to you.
Oh, 100% better than me. I mean, no, it's great. No, that's the other thing about YouTube and this new thing. Like, I got a YouTube video of this guy playing one of my songs, and I'm watching it, and I started thinking, that guy, that's way better than the way I play it. Like, this guy's doing it better than me. And I'm just, so I started playing it his way. I was like, thanks, guy from Poland.
Have you ever heard the guy who did a bunch of, like, Journey covers, and then they ended up bringing him out?
Arnell Pineda.
Yeah.
Yeah, Arnell Pineda was, like, he was in a band that played all these covers. And yes. But not only does he sound like Steve Perry, but if you go back and listen to his cover bands, like, he could sound like a lot of different singers.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's, like, one of my favorite stories. Like, here's this kid, and he didn't believe it. Like, he was ignoring the emails from Neil Sean. He was like, yeah, whatever, Neil Sean. I'm not falling for this. I'm not sending you any money.
Right.
You know,
and where's Ashton Kutcher? Yeah, getting punked here.
That's my favorite story, and he did such a good job. And I don't know the reasons that Steve Perry has resisted coming back to Journey, but my suspicion is that he wasn't the first singer in Journey, and he had to acknowledge how cool it was for Arnell Pineda to have that job and how much it meant to him. And he, I think, and you know, I respect him for letting Arnell have this time as the singer of Journey. And you know, I've read a bunch of stuff. I go down the wormhole and this stuff. I'm a huge classic rock fan.
Yeah,
but I just thought that was really classy of him, or at least I'm deciding that's why Steve Perry didn't take the job back. But I think it's really classy that he let Arnell go out there and do. And if you see him, he's so happy.
He cannot believe
about
it.
Doing every, the, how fun would that be?
I mean, it's something you can't even make up.
Right?
It's like stranger than fiction.
I want to be in Earth, Wind, and Fire so bad, and that's never going to happen, right? I know. So I get to watch Arnell be in Journey, so it's close enough.
That's awesome. Well, let's hear it. Let's hear I'll Be. And this show at the City Winery tonight is sold out, but we do have a pair of tickets for one lucky listener. We're going to give those away here right before the actual national buzzer sounds. So this is Edwin McCain with I'll Be on Lightning 100.
The strands in your eyes that color them wonderful stab me, steal my breath. Emeralds from mountains and thrust towards the sky, never revealing their depth. And tell me that we belong together. Dress it up with the trappings of love. I'll be captivated. Hang from your lips. Stand on the gallows of heartache that hang from above. And I'll be your crying shoulder. I'll be love suicide. And I'll be better when I'm older. I'll be the greatest fan of your life. And rain falls in roof as we lie awake in my bed. You're my survival, you're my living proof. My love is alive and not dead. And tell me that we belong together. Dress it up with the trappings of love. I'll be captivated. Hang from your lips. Stand on the gallows of heartache that hang from above. And I'll be your crying shoulder. I'll be love suicide. I'm old. I'll be the greatest fan of your life. And I dropped out, burned up, fought my way back from the dead. Tuned in, turned on, remember the thing that you crying shoulder, I'll be of suicide. And I'll be better when I'm older. I'll be the greatest fan of your life.
Oh, that was awesome. That is Edwin McCain here live in the 1 RPM studio on Lightning 100 singing his classic tune. We can call it a classic now.
It's classic. Oh, no, it's classic. We were in the Suburban the other day, and we were listening to this station up in Greenville where I'm from. It's Yesterday's Hits, you know, and it came on, and I was like, kids, listen to your old man. Listen. This song's gonna pay for one of you to go to college.
But it's true. I mean, you know, now with everything, you know, there's so much more music out there, and it's much easier to access music. Like, what a gift it is to have that in the canon of classic music. You know, it's
100%.
Not easy to get there.
No, and I'm unemployable other than this. So it's a good thing.
Well, that song, today is actually the 20th anniversary of I'll Be Peaking at number 5 on the Billboard charts. You've also had 5 other albums in the top 200 on the Billboard.
Really?
So you've been, yeah.
All right, on. I didn't know any of this stuff.
Mean,
it's so
there,
funny.
You're
like,
doing it. You're making it.
It's funny. I didn't realize that they were throwing metrics at me. The ASCAP people were throwing all this stuff out at me late. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I need to write all that stuff down so I can at least tell the kids about
all
it.
All right, tell the kids. How many kids do you have?
It feels like 100. I have 3. I adopted my first son. He's 12, and my middle son is 7 months younger, 12, and then my daughter's 9.
Oh, so, wow. Yeah, so those boys must be best buds, huh?
Depends on which hour.
Unless they're trying to kill each
other. Depends on which hour. Well, my oldest 12-year-old is 6'2".
Oh, my God.
And has size 13 shoes, so okay. I'm really kind of scared of him.
Maybe
frankly.
He can be a security detail for you.
You know, maybe. If he can get it. I mean, I really, the only reason I'm on tour is just to pay for all this Xbox stuff. It's just turning real money into V-Bucks. I know there are people out there listening that are like, yes, I feel your pain. Yeah.
I'm sure every parent feels your pain.
That's
one of the most interesting things I read about you is that you're also a ship restorer.
Well, boats. I mean, boats. And yeah, so I did I've been kind of a chronic restorer of old things, and so it's everything from motorcycles to Jeeps and boats. And so we started doing boats for people, and it was right around the time the whole Duck Dynasty thing happened, and I was watching one day, and I was like, I know people that are way funnier than this. And so we sort of put together this TV show, and I'll never do television again.
No?
Oh, gosh, never. That was way more work than I wanted to. But I still do restorations and projects and stuff. It's just fun thing to do.
Are you like a take it apart, see how it works?
Well, it helps that like my best friend is a master mechanic.
That does help.
So I will dive into something I got no business doing because I know I can always just go, hey, help. You know,
what's
so
this do?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm really good at taking stuff apart, but you know, the putting it back together, I'm getting better at. I'm getting better. I'm fairely handy. I wouldn't say by any means an expert.
It's also good to just get your mind off of music for a minute and get it into something else and kind of come back to it. It's good for the brain to kind of switch gears.
Absolutely. I like learning new things. Any chance to, and you know, whenever you're restoring something, you can't help but go down the wormhole and learn the history of whatever it is, right? So, you know, there's a backstory to everything, and the people that created the vehicle that you're working on, and there's lots of history in there. So I'm kind of a geek when it comes to that stuff.
What's the most fun thing you restored?
Fun's a relative term.
I mean, a boat, I assume.
Well, you know, I'm in the process of doing this old Hatteras, but it's a 1968 Hatteras, and that's been the longest running project. But I've done Willie's Jeeps, like old, like one of the Jeeps we figured out, like we did some research, and it turns out it was in the Korean War and Vietnam,
oh,
right?
Wow.
Yeah, so yeah, just like little things like that, and There's always some interesting backstory, and it's fun.
Like, okay, well, that's awesome. Well, our national alarm test is going to happen in about 3 minutes. So let's get.
Hey,
let's
we
get
can
a
do
song
this.
In.
Oh, let's see if we can. Let's see if we can get a song in.
What are we going to hear?
Let's do the other. I tell you what. I'll just do. Since we were talking about my kids, I'll just do the. This is a pretty quick song. My daughter left a handprint on the wall, and I was going to move, and I saw the handprint, and we didn't move, so. There's a tiny handprint 2 feet from the floor on the wall outside our upstairs bedroom door. Her tiny hand sticky from the pancakes, making sure that daddy's waking up to kiss her tiny face. This is home to me. It's a place where I find peace. It's a view you've got to see. This is home to me. Her brothers run from one end to the other, and not listening to the mother. Time to get up, go lay down the rules. But she's so good. Well, she's got them fed and ready, and so we climb on in the green truck and we get on off to school. This is home to me. It's a place where I. It's a view you've got to see. This is home to me. Young men crave the kiss, and that's just the thrill of the chase. I never dreamed of this. And home is a warm, loving embrace. There's a tiny handprint 2 feet from the floor on the wall outside our upstairs bedroom door. Her tiny hand sticky from the pancakes, making sure that daddy's waking up to kiss her tiny face.
That was amazing, Edwin McCain. And, you know, you can't see the clock, but you ended right at 118.
Bam!
With the double zeros. Unbelievable. All right. Well, that national test is going to happen here in a second. Edwin McCain's got a sold-out show at City Winery, and we are going to give away a pair of tickets to go see him. I'll take my third caller, and get ready for that test. It's going to happen any second.